1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton surrenders at federal court in Maryland. CBS's Scott McFarland.
The 18 felony counts allege Bolton shared more than 1,000 pages of highly sensitive information about his day-to-day activities in the White House, including classified national defense information, some of it top secret.
CBS News learns the U.S. has taken out a sixth boat off Venezuela. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Admiral Alvin Halsey, the regional commander who's been overseeing these escalating attacks, he announced that he is stepping down after only a year into what is typically a three-year job. He didn't publicly state the reason.
Florida mom calls 911 after a thief stole her car and her one-year-old at a gas station.
So he tried to steal your car?
Yeah, talking about somebody's out trying to shoot him, so he's out here. Like, yes, he's apologizing, but he still just tried to steal my car.
Bad guy returned as soon as he realized there was a baby on board. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. How did Wisconsin end fiscal year 2025? Joanne Krulatz has the answer.
The Evers administration has announced the state ended fiscal year 2025 with a positive ending balance of $4.6 billion in the general fund, the state's main checking account exceeding previous estimates by over $265 million. Additionally, the state's rainy day fund, also known as the budget stabilization fund, increased to approximately $2 billion. This is the largest balance in the rainy day fund in state history, which has grown by over $1.6 billion under Governor Evers' leadership, more than six times what it was at the end of fiscal year 2018. According to the Department of Administration, notably, the six largest ending general fund balances in state history have all occurred in the six full fiscal years that Governor Evers has been in office. The new annual fiscal report released by DOA, which covers fiscal year 2025, that ended on June 30th, is available on DOA's website.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is inviting residents to participate in Drug Take Back Day this month. The event is held twice each year, giving Wisconsinites a chance to dispose of unwanted or unneeded medications at collection sites across the state. Department of Health Services officials say the spring collection this year took in nearly 57,000 pounds of unwanted medications. The fall Drug Take Back Day will be held on October 25th. Wausau residents can drop off capsules, creams, inhalers, non-aerosol sprays, ointments, patches, pills, and vials to the Wausau Police Department. For more information, visit the Wisconsin DHS website. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
Another loss for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. In the National League Series, the Dodgers down the Brewers again, this time 3-1. And to make matters worse, Milwaukee slugger Jackson Chourio had to leave the game in the seventh inning, re-injuring his strained right hamstring. Pat Murphy with the update.
Chourio's had a continual cramps in his hamstring. He feels like he's going to be okay, so I'm hopeful.
So the Brewers down now 3-0. Game four is tonight. Football, the Badgers and Ohio State Buckeyes kick off at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. The Packers play the Cardinals in Arizona on Sunday. NBA, the Bucks getting ready for their season opener next week.
You know, you got 5 days, get your legs back under you, get back into a great spot mentally, physically, and then it's time to roll. Once the season starts, the first 10, 11 games, like every other day or something like that. So I think it's vital that guys get their legs up under them, get their win back and things like that.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matinaire on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October. An isolated shower or two possible late in the afternoon with highs in the low to mid-70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, highs near 70. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine. A week in review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is Friday, so Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area, he's going to join us at 9:30.
Brand new time, even more Dan, 75% more Dan Schaefer. Where did I get that number? I made it up.
And it costs you the same.
Free.
Absolutely free. Yes. So Dan Schaefer joining us after the 9:30 news. We're going to talk certainly about the widening of I-94.
Because we need that. Folks, we need that.
We need 8 lanes. And the No Kings protest.
Correct.
Which we have spent the last couple of days talking about largely because the reaction from the right has been
measured.
So extreme.
Measured and logical.
Right.
And, oh, my goodness. I'm really glad to see them supporting the exercising of free speech as guaranteed by the Constitution.
Yes. And toning down the rhetoric.
Oh, yes.
Yes. White House press secretary really toning things down, talking about the No Kings protest. So we will be kicking that around with Dan Schaefer after the 9:30 news. Also in hour number two, very end of the show, we'll wrap it up as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it's the I Feel the Earth Move edition.
Yeah.
Literally. So stay tuned for that. We're going to start off, though, with an article from the Wisconsin Examiner. Baylor Spears with the byline, DPI data shows general aid decreases for public school districts, increases in voucher enrollment. We talked about this a lot. The amount of dollars, taxpayer dollars, that are being sent to voucher schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we're funding two separate school systems in Wisconsin.
And we have been for a long, long
time. DPI came out with its 2025-26 general school aid data this week. 71% of public school districts will get less general school aid this year, but over $350 million in general aid will be diverted to voucher schools. We love our public schools.
We love our public schools.
We just don't like to pay for them.
No. Well, I don't like to pay for other people's public schools.
I love my public school.
My public school is amazing.
But that one is terrible.
That one's awful. Don't.
Democratic lawmakers have repeatedly called for increasing general school aid, blaming the GOP for the numbers during a virtual press conference yesterday. Senator Jeff Smith, a Democrat from Brunswick, said this provides a harsh reality check for school districts that the state legislature, specifically the Republican-controlled state legislature, which they've controlled, this is kind of important, for 30 of the last 32 years.
Yep.
And 30 of the last 32 years, we have had Republican control of the Wisconsin legislature.
And we've gotten zero increases for general education for the most part. We got that in this last budget. I believe in the budget before that. If I'm not mistaken, if I am, please correct me. But the thing that I keep on thinking about is the fact that Robin Voss, in that upfront interview last November, when talking about the upcoming, this budget that they just signed, giving himself all sorts of congratulations on giving the largest increase to public education in a generation. Well, you gave nothing before that.
Right.
You're giving nothing, so a little isn't something to celebrate.
Well, it's 100% increase.
Yeah.
Because you gave us nothing before, so yeah. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much for that. Pat yourself on the shoulder. Take 10 months off next year. How about this? Remember, folks, this is something I want to start making people aware of right now. They worked this year. Good job. Next year, like they do every other year, is their 10-month vacation.
Yes, that we pay for.
We pay for. They still get paid. They are off 10 months from Madison. That's a thing that happens every other year.
Now it kind of seems like the House in Washington is kind of following along the Wisconsin legislature with taking a lot of time off because thanks to Mike Johnson's unwillingness to have the House in session and swear in that new Democratic, duly elected Democratic lawmaker
from Arizona,
who will be the deciding vote to release the Epstein files. Now, rather than do that, Mike Johnson has kept members of the House at home. It was five.
5 weeks.
They've been off for the last 5 weeks.
They've been off for 5 weeks. And every time he is asked, he blames the Democrats. He blames Chuck Schumer. He says that we cannot swear in this legally elected official, congresswoman-elect, because they're out of session. Well, that's not true because they've sworn people in before.
They have.
When they were out of session.
When they were Republicans.
When they were Republicans. Oh, yeah. And Jane also when they brought their families here.
That's right.
The families are here. So, oh, my God.
This Arizona lawmaker could bring her family.
I'll come. I'll be like, hey, I'm your cousin. Swear her in. Yeah, it's and removed. He has said we'll get them sworn in when they're back in business, when they've come to a deal. So now he is trying to extort like this.
Well, and the thing about that, and we're diverting a little bit here.
Sorry.
But the thing about that is the Republicans are not willing to give on anything.
No.
They're essentially telling the Democrats, sign on to this or else.
Yeah.
Sign on to this. Later, after you sign this, we'll come up with something about the ACA. Mike Johnson said yesterday they have pages and pages of a plan. Greg Bach, did you know that? They have pages and pages of a plan to replace the ACA. It's just not ready to be released yet. I'm sure it's coming out in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
You're right. We did divert. That's on us.
Back to what's happening in Wisconsin.
But this is indicative of larger problems, though, when we're seeing at the state and the federal level. You want to do something about it? MyVote.WI.gov. Call your leaders and tell them that you want good schools. Tell them that maybe you're tired of paying for two school systems. If you'd like to know where your tax dollars are going, as far as how much from your school district is being diverted tax-wise to the private voucher program, to the school voucher program, I should say. That's the school voucher program. I have in our website, in our show notes, a link to the website that will take you there. You look up your county or your school district, and it will give a shocking and unyielding report to you about just how much money that you pay. This is your money. Your tax dollars that should be going to your public schools is being diverted into the voucher program. And I think it's also very important, and I'm going to use this to plug something. It's Earl's show, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. He speaks to Dr. Howard Fuller, who is a Marquette. He's no longer a
emeritus.
Thank you. He is an emeritus professor in education. He is the founder of the Dr. Howard Fuller Collegiate Academy. He is one of the architects of the earliest version of the voucher program that started here in Wisconsin. And that program, when you look at its roots and its history, is based in so much goodwill for young kids who needed a good education but couldn't afford it. It has morphed and devolved into something now where literally rich people are sending their kids to school for free.
On our tax dollars.
On our tax dollars.
Because that has been found that a lot of the people who benefit from this already had their kids in private and or voucher schools.
And that $350 million in the general aid that's going to be diverted to the private schools, there will be no accountability for it. There is no oversight committee. I would even start small. I'd be like, hey, start a real with teeth oversight committee that looks at all applicants for voucher schools, and they have to produce X, Y, and Z for A, B, and C. Okay, there's a start. There's nothing, no oversight whatsoever.
And that's been my problem the entire time with voucher and private schools. Yeah. If they are going to receive public monies, taxpayer dollars, and there a lot of them are religious institutions.
Yep.
If they are going to receive taxpayer dollars for education, then they should have to have the same reporting standards that public schools do. And they don't.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's wrong.
I agree. And I think more people, and it's amazing, and this isn't a critique, it's just an observation on just what's going on in our lives. How many people don't know, when you say school vouchers, they don't, it's kind of a, off in the distance, you hear about it, you know about it, you're like, I don't really know much about it. But when you tell people you are funding a second school system with your tax dollars to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Lots of money.
I think that, and then on top of that, Jane, I, who have nary a child, go to the polls and vote yes to raise my property taxes on my home so my school system can get funded. We voted no on it. I also understand that, too. At some point, the people are going to say, I'm tired of, like, I'm already paying my tax dollars in. That tax dollar money should go to the
schools. It's supposed to be going to public schools, yes.
Why am I now having to pay more in property taxes to pay for my schools? It makes no sense. And it is reflective of a GOP leadership that has done all it has to vilify, demonize the public school system, the teachers, and the students, really.
Well, they want to kill public
schools.
They
want to destroy public schools.
They've been trying to kill public education for a really, really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And Linda McMahon is now the head of the Department of Education. Linda McMahon.
Yeah.
And they want to destroy the Department of Education.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's long been a goal. Senator Jody Habesh-Sinkin, Democrat from Whitefish Bay, says the system that our state has been forced to adopt isn't sustainable. Instead of state funding, school districts in Wisconsin have to raise property taxes through referendum to meet their financial obligations. And this includes paying staff salaries, publishing educational materials, and building costs. And let's not forget as well that a lot of our public school teachers have to help bring in their own supplies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, none of them. I mean, this is these referendums to raise property taxes and any money that's given to the system that's, you know, funding. Well, they're not funding K-5 through 12. This new budget will not fund that. It will fund private schools, but not our public schools. My point being, none of these teachers are getting rich. None of these teachers,
not by a long shot,
are buying Mercedes Benzes. None of these teachers are buying their third cottage on the lake. They are struggling, scrimping, saving. They need help and they need recognition, and we're not giving it to them because our Madison lawmakers are taking this money and diverting it into schools that should not be getting it, to people who should not be getting it. And I'm tired of voting my property taxes up. But I do because it's an investment, but I'm sick of it. And I want Robin Voss and his cohorts to get off their butts and do something about it. They won't.
They probably won't.
They love what they've done. $350 million. That's a good job.
Well, their donors will be happy.
It's the largest injection since the last time.
We'll continue this conversation, and you can join in as well at 855-752-4842. Voucher schools, public schools in Wisconsin. Who's getting the most taxpayer money? That's on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, joining us after the 9:30 news. One of the many things we will be talking about with Dan will be the roads, I-94.
More Dan today and more roads in Milwaukee.
And more lanes. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Also, the No Kings protest. And, those naughty boys. 31, 32, 35 years old. We'll be talking about those rascally boys in their chat, just being boys, yeah, apparently. So that and much more on the way with Dan Schaefer after the 9:30 news. But we've been talking about the amount of tax dollars that Wisconsin taxpayers pay for vouchers, mm-hmm, and voucher schools instead of public schools. Department of Public Instruction out with data on the costs of the voucher programs. So the cost for Wisconsin's voucher program for 2025-2026, $700.7 million. About $360 million of that cut from general school aid to go towards private voucher schools.
We got a text from Marlene listening in Waukesha right now. Said, please address the fact that some, quote, voucher schools, unquote, are owned by for-profit companies such as National Heritage Academies that run the schools with taxpayer funds and provide incomes to their owners. So, yeah, they're enriching themselves off of our tax dollars.
Oh, yeah.
With no oversight, none whatsoever. And here's the thing that, for me personally, that sickens me the most of all of this is they can take voucher money, they can admit a student, and if that student doesn't adhere to their whatever their handbook, whether they are queer, whether they're trans, whether they are something else that doesn't fit in their milieu, they can throw them out with no questions asked and keep the money.
It's nice how that works.
This is a grift. This is a dodge. This is the biggest. This is offensively bad to me. I hate this because it is literally, once again, taking the idea of Dr. Howard Fuller of Milwaukee and some other individuals, a very simple idea. Let's help some poor kids get an education.
Which is what they were intended for.
It's going to be tough. There'll be discussions. It's a very big ask, but now it's not even an ask. The GOP and Madison are just taking $700 million. $700 million of our taxpayer money from our general school aid to private schools. I don't know why this isn't on the headlines every night of a huge. You want to talk about waste, fraud, and abuse? Let's start there. Let's just start right there.
Well, again, I don't understand why, if we are giving them public money via our tax dollars, why they do not have to follow the same kind of requirements that public schools who also receive our tax dollars have to have.
Yeah.
That, why are there two different systems involved? That seems wrong.
This seems counterintuitive. It doesn't seem like a person who would do this would have a good education and can do math and long-term. It's just...
Well, and in the meantime... We are still having problems attracting teachers.
Ah, but MPS, Jane, has a fix.
MPS, this from Lori Linan in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. MPS now offering $1,000 bonuses for retired teachers to come back. There are 83 teaching jobs still open at MPS over a month into the school year. So they're trying to lure back retired teachers by offering them a $1,000 bonus. Again, I go back to blaming Scott Walker, who demonized teachers under Act 10. The vitriol and horrible things he said.
Takers, not makers.
Oh, that's right. They're takers.
Moochers.
And I don't think that's changed. And I don't know why anyone at this point would choose to go into education.
If this was a $1,000 bonus to bring people who were teachers who left back into it, but I know retired teachers, you couldn't bring them back with $10,000. They retire for a reason. They work their butts off for decades, some of these individuals.
Yep, 20, 30 years.
And they retire proud, but they retire tired. And I don't think $1,000, which by the way, $1,000 and you guarantee I don't have to use that money to pay for my school supplies, too. There you go. I mean, this is just backwards thing, especially from a school district that we just gave $272 million to last year in, wait for it, a referendum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is such backwards thinking. And this is the challenge I want to lay down to all of these people running as Democrats in the next election for Senate, Assembly, and for governor. If you get your trifecta, which I know you talk about a lot, which makes me sick to my stomach to think about, just because that's a lot of confidence. I don't understand confidence like that. But if you get that, is one of the first things you're going to do, look at this system and change it to amend the budget in a budget repair bill, or just say in the next budget, we are going to severely slash voucher school funding. We're going to take that money and put it back into our schools. I want to know that.
Okay, then.
Sorry, I'm a taxpayer.
Send your emails to Greg via Calvin. We'll make sure it gets to him.
At Calvin. There it is.
At Calvin.com. News is coming up next. And then when Dan Schaefer joins us, we'll start with talking about expanding four whole miles of I-94 in downtown Milwaukee. It's only several billion dollars. Okay, maybe I got that number wrong. We'll clarify on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm going down.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. Wausau Mayor Doug Denny has threatened to veto the city budget if his suggestions aren't met. In a statement, Denny said the city council needs to, quote, face reality, and that the city has a spending problem, not a revenue problem. Denny told the Wausau Finance Committee on Tuesday his goal is to avoid increasing the levy by more than about $912,000. City Council President Lisa Rasmussen told the Wausau Pilot and Review that if the budget is not passed as scheduled, it could delay mailing tax bills to residents and create uncertainty for those wanting to pay their property taxes before the year ends. A public hearing on the city's 2026 budget is set for October 28th, and the budget is scheduled to be signed on November 11th. Weston Elementary School is hosting their Stock the School Drive. The school is looking to restock their supply of clothing items and their snack depot. They're accepting new and gently used clothing items in sizes 4T through 10, and a variety of nut-free snacks, including goldfish, fruit snacks, pretzels, plain Cheerios, unsweetened applesauce, and popcorn. Donations can be dropped off by October 31st at Weston Elementary School and the Weston Municipal Center. The Marshfield Medical Center has opened a new resource for women's health. Last week marked the grand opening of a new Women's Health and Imaging Center, which will provide services including screening mammography, diagnostic mammography, breast ultrasound, breast biopsy, MRI, and bone density screening. The new center combines the practices of oncology, radiation therapy, and surgical services. Find more news anytime at WXCO.FM. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The TV show Bosch has been off the air for a few years now. The show about an L.A. homicide detective played by Titus Welliver, who is not afraid to bend the rules, was followed by three seasons of Bosch Legacy. Earlier this year, there was another spinoff called Ballard that starred Maggie Q, and rumor has it there is a spinoff in the works for Jamie Hector, who played Bosch's partner on the original show, Jerry Edgar. The Bosch extended family is about to give birth again with a prequel series called Bosch Start of Watch. The show is in development with actor Cameron Monaghan in place as the younger Harry Bosch. Like its predecessors, the show will be set in Los Angeles, but in the year 1991, and focus on Bosch's character as an LAPD rookie. The show is currently in development at MGM+. The Bosch franchise is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. Fun universe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny, breezy, and warm for mid-October. An isolated shower or two possible late in the afternoon with highs in the low to mid-70s. Showers and a few thunderstorms likely tonight with lows in the lower 50s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, highs near 70. Right now, it's 57.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, author Laura Bird will tell us about not one, but two upcoming book festivals around Wisconsin, what they're about, and why you might like to check one out.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, he joins us on Friday, civic media political editor and the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm here, Dane. Hello.
Glad to have you in studio. Always lovely to have you.
It's a great way to end the week on a Friday. Coming here to be here with you all fine folks on Matt Nair on Air in Racine, recombobulating on the week that was.
That's the week that was.
Wow. Yeah.
What a week it was.
What a week.
Before we get to some of the national stuff, I wanted to talk about the, because I know you're very excited about this.
Oh, sure.
The widening of a, 3.5 mile section of I-94 that's going to cost a whole bunch of money. 3.5-mile project will rebuild the aging freeway between North 16th and 70th Streets and complete a replacement of the stadium interchange. The six-lane roadway will be expanded to 8 lanes. Construction expected to last through 2033.
2033, Jane.
The initial work area is $121 million. The initial work area.
Yep. I've probably written more words about this project than anyone in Wisconsin media.
That's why you win awards.
I have had a lot to say about this. I really hate this project. I really think it is so misguided on so many ways. We do not need to widen highways. It does not work anywhere. I don't know if you want Milwaukee's roadways to look like Los Angeles or Houston,
or
some of these cities that have these massive lane extensions going through the middle of the city. There is not an example of this working anywhere. I asked some of the supporters about where's an example that you would look to as, you know, where
does it work
widening the highway in the middle of the city? And this stretch that you talked about from 16th to 70th is in the middle of the city in Milwaukee. People live people drive it every day, but people live close to this highway too.
Yes.
And so this is going to be disruptive for the people in the footprint of the highway. It's going to be extraordinarily expensive. It's going to have another major interchange and a stretch of highway that has so many major interchanges going through it. And now they have it scheduled to finally begin this extended project to widen the highway. It's going to begin as soon as the Brewer season ends, basically. Oh, so it's going to begin the first week of November. And it is, you know, I don't know if even, you know, they made the announcement this week that this was going to happen with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. You know, I don't know if Tony Evers is going to be there for some sort of groundbreaking or something like that. I have to imagine if he does, it's going to get protested by some of the folks that I've talked to in my coverage about who are very much opposed to the widening here. You know, and 8 years, like, that's the minimum. That's the optimistic
view of this. We know it will take
longer. Yes, because,
we
just lived through the zoo interchange reconstruction, which went way longer than they initially planned. And I feel like in some cases is kind of still going because they're still doing some of the construction and a few of the, you know, kind of interchanges just north of the large interchange.
Right.
But yeah, so for those who might not know, I wrote an extended series on this now 4 years ago called Expanding the Divide. It is a multi-part series on the future of I-94, that one won several Milwaukee Press Club awards. And also, you know, we tied in a number of other things kind of with that and, you know, I think really raised the salience of this issue in a lot of different ways. But, you know, obviously the outcome is not one that we wanted, but I just I think there's so much to this project, and now we're going to, I don't want to be the guy that says I told you so for 8 years that this is going to be a bad project. But I think, you know, both Democrats and Republicans were supportive of this. Governor Evers' office was supportive of this. Legislative Republicans were supportive of this. I guess the one thing that they can agree on in Wisconsin is that we need to give the Department of Transportation as much money as they want, especially if it screws over Milwaukee residents.
Well, and who get? I mean, who are, because they subcontract this to a road crew? Mm-hmm. Is that the Michaels Corporation?
It very well could be. Yeah. I mean, they have like this low bid, you know, kind of process with that. So if you know, it often is the Michaels Corporation because they can make those bids. But yeah, it's you know, that this is the one thing that we've decided that always will. You know, there's always money in the banana stand. Yeah. There's always money in WISDOT. There's always money for WISDOT.
And speaking of this project, right now has a price tag of $1.74 billion.
Mm-hmm. And that has grown significantly since they initially proposed it in 2020.
And this is 3.5 miles.
Yeah.
3.5 miles.
Well, and the thing I feel like, I mean, there is so much to break down when it comes to this because it's frustrating because we have so many interchanges just in that short from that Wauwatosa, Milwaukee border at the zoo, all the way down to Summerfest. There are so many interchanges. All of them are not good. And mm-hmm. they keep on thinking that let's redo it and try again. And maybe that will be the fix. No, it's not the fix. And we know, like right now in Milwaukee, when you're heading southbound, there's a bunch of, it feels like everything's under construction again.
Well, this is the thing. It never ends.
No.
With these road construction. We paid, I think, over $500 million to redo parts of I-43.
Mm-hmm.
North of it, there's this $1.7 billion, which I'm sure will be north of $2 billion by the time this project
of course.
Is done.
Yeah.
This to reconstruct this freeway. And it, you know, it strikes me as something that's kind of funny about this as well, is that there's also this debate happening in Milwaukee about the future of the streetcar. Because one of the aldermen said, hey, we just need to stop funding this. That's $4 million a year for the streetcar that the city pays for it. It is 0.2% of the city's annual budget.
It's minuscule.
It's a rounding error,
right.
Almost. And at the same time, there is going to be more outrage over the city spending $4 million on a streetcar project than the state of Wisconsin spending $2 billion to widen the highway in a place where it absolutely is not needed.
This is a question I could have. I'm sorry I didn't ask you sooner because I'm sure we get the numbers. But if you think about from when Scott Walker got into office and we started widening 94, that huge project that was supposed to take 10 years, it didn't. How much money has Wisconsin paid just in major road, not all of them, but just the interchanges, the widenings, all of these major projects? How much has Wisconsin paid for that? And what have we gotten out of it? I mean, we've got wider roads. Great. I still get stuck in traffic. That was the whole thing. It's like, with wider roads, there'll be more. It'll move faster. No, there's still going to be. If there's an accident, you can have 12 lanes on a side. It's still going to be a mess. I don't understand. We talked about this on the air once, just you and me. And it just feels like every time, like, why can't we live in 2025? Engineering is a marvel. They have tons of examples on which to base their designs. Why do they have designs and then say, oh, we got it wrong, let's do it again? Why can't they nail it the first time?
Because they don't consider the actual alternatives, and they are just locked into this plan of road widening.
We've always done it this way.
Right, Jane.
Yes. 855-752-4842, especially if you drive that section of 94, we would love mm-hmm. to hear from you. We're talking about I-94 from, 16th up to 70th, mm-hmm. That section, which is, like you said, it's right in the middle of the city. Mm-hmm. It is narrow. Mm-hmm. My problem with this, people drive like maniacs the way it is now. Mm-hmm. The speed limit from AmFam Field all the way down east mm-hmm. is 50 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one drives 50.
No. No.
If you drive 50, you're going to die. So we're going to widen it to 8 lanes. So now people can drive 90. That's going to be great. That's really going to help everybody.
And the thing too is that I do think it's funny that like the speed limit in Milwaukee County on the freeway is 55 and everybody is going at least 70, and then you get into Waukesha County and the speed limit is 70 and everybody's going 55.
Yes, Blue Mound Road is a whole nother discussion.
Oh my God,
Blue Mound Road is a whole nother discussion.
It's suburban Fast and Furious, my God.
Christy in Eau Claire texting in says, "Why is road construction worth more than fixing lead pipes in Milwaukee?"
There's a great question.
That's a good question.
The question I have, I asked you when you first brought this to me, because it's not just the 94 project. They're also going to be starting the massive National Avenue project as well, which, I mean, I don't even want to come to Milwaukee anymore. But what is this going to do when we're widening these roads? What is it going to do to the housing, to the people who live in that area? I don't imagine it's going to knock homes down, but it's going to change the landscape of things.
Well, aren't those cemeteries still in the way?
Yeah, so there's a cemetery right near the Holly Road exit.
Yep, and great big cemetery.
Military cemetery.
Yes. Yeah. They can't move any of that. Scott Walker administration proposed moving some of that when they initially proposed this I-94 project back in the 2010s. That didn't end up happening. They scrapped those plans. They kind of started fresh when Tony Evers was governor with proposing this in 2020. But it is also going to make it really narrow because they can't move that. So they're just basically, it's just going to have no shoulder in those areas pretty much going through. So that is not going to be a great driving experience going through there. And that is right in there. That is right near the stadium interchange, which they are redoing in a really significant way. They initially proposed like this triple decker, like huge ramps thing. And that a bunch of us who were at these public meetings saying, why do we possibly need to do things this way? So they scaled it back to a different way. Saved $80 million in the process, so good on those of us who were showing up to try to advocate for a different solution. But they're going to have this like diverging diamond interchange, which I also think people are not going to really like all that much. And then there's also the connection to the stadium freeway, which is this unresolved project, which is somehow not connected to this, because I think it all needs to be one project. Yes. If we're going to reimagine the stadium freeway along with the stadium interchange, like making these two separate projects also doesn't make sense. If you get into any of the weeds on this project, so much of it does not make sense.
Yeah.
So much of it does not hold muster in public scrutiny, and they're just going along with it.
Well, and you mentioned, when I think about the stadium interchange, there is an on-ramp onto eastbound 94 from Holly Road.
Yeah.
That is the shortest joining ramp.
Yep.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah. They're getting rid of that entirely,
dangerous.
Yeah. They're not replacing it with a safer ramp. They're getting rid of the eastbound ramps entirely from Holly.
The question I'll pile on with Christy that we can't answer right now is, with 15 years, well, now let's say 20, 25, 30 years of construction between 2010 and whenever it's done, how much of any of that money could have been diverted to create a sustainable public transit system in Milwaukee, or at very least make the buses better? Billions of dollars to get people on the roads. We could have a train of some sort, or a better, a more extensive hop, something. No, it's got to be roads. And it's because of the lobbies. I went through this with my boss in 2009 with the expansion project. We need better mass transit, and we could get the money, but they want to spend it on roads.
855-752-4842 if you'd like to join the discussion. Richard and Tom, I see you. We'll take you on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in the Philippines on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now's a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him." GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We're talking about the $1.74 billion West Leg segment of I-94 that they're going to be starting November 3rd. Planned long-term closures include one lane in each direction, the Hawley Road interchange, southbound 175, 68th Street ramp to eastbound 94, the ramp from 175 to Frederick Miller Way. That's going to screw me up in the morning. Yes, and so it's going to start and last until 2033. So if you'd like to join us at 855-752-4842. Richard from Waukesha has been very patient. Good morning, Richard. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I think the people are going to have to start thinking about stacking lanes above. You know, the invention of the high-rise is a economical invention. And you could either put buses or trains up above, and it creates more footage for less cost.
Well, as Dan said, they entertained the idea of a triple-decker thing, and it ended up being not feasible. And
yeah, so the Scott Walker's administration proposed this, like, double-decker version of the expansion of this freeway, and it was far, far more expensive Then it would be to just widen the lane and all of that,
or to
not widen the lane, also less expensive. Yeah. But yeah, that's it. You know, so I think we should be more open to creative solutions, though, than mm-hmm. just saying, well, widen we've always done it this way. Right. Let's widen it. It's never worked anywhere, but maybe it'll work here.
This time will be different. Yeah. Right. Tom from West Dallas. Good morning, Tom. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Good morning, everyone. I'll try and make this quick. I got a few points. First, back when they were widening 43, Earl had talking about this. And basically, I told him all that widening 43 is going to do is get people who live in Mequon home about 5 minutes quicker.
Yeah.
All that money being spent. And they're still working on that thing. And it drives me insane when I go down either 41 or 43 and I see nothing happening, or I see maybe three people working on it. For that kind of money, I-94, the amount of money they're spending, they should be working on that 24/7.
It's
such a major artery, and to close it down and screw it up for that long, how much commerce is lost by truckers and people who have places to be having to be held up in traffic because they're just sputtering around on all that. That drives me insane. And real quick, about, you were talking about rail and all that. There is an abandoned rail line just south of 94. There's no reason, it's a bike path. Now, there's no reason why they couldn't utilize that and run that. Starts up over by UPS on Blue Mountain Road. You could run that all the way down that way with parking and everything, and run that right down to like Canal Street and right down to the intermodal station. There's no reason why that couldn't be, because it goes past the stadium, it goes past everything. All these attractions they could run by, and people would use it, even to get to a Brewers game.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tom. We really appreciate it.
We have what we spend money on. If we spent spent $2 billion on rail in Milwaukee, people would have options to use rail or buses.
Remind me who killed the rail project. That'd
have been Scott Walker.
Yeah. That was Scott Walker. Well, right.
And Tom brings up a good point, too. You're going to have the 94 project. You're going to have that smaller project. You're going to have the national project. And 41 is still under construction.
Yep.
Like, there is so much happening in Milwaukee County. It's going to be, it's going to be impossible. And this project during the Brewers season?
It's going to be a nightmare. That's why they're stopping it. That's why they're waiting to start it until after the season.
Yeah,
now.
But even so, we're looking at 2033. This is going to be around for a really long time. Yeah. And it wasn't until I was actually reading all of these closures that I'm thinking, geez, I leave for work right now at 5:45. I'm going to have to leave at 5:15.
I'm moving to Racine.
Yes, but Jane, in 8 years, your commute will be 5 minutes shorter.
Well, it's all worth it then.
Guys, just go with me here.
In 8 years, people from Waukesha can get to Milwaukee 5 minutes shorter on their commute. The biggest problem that Milwaukee faces.
Because, you know,
is Waukesha shortening commuters. The average commute time, which is not particularly long as it is, from 25 minutes to 20 minutes.
And
that's
people
the
from
biggest
Waukesha.
Problem Milwaukee faces. Not crime or education disparities or lack of public investment in transportation. Not all of those other things. No, our biggest issue is commute times. For suburban commuters.
Look at the lobbyists.
That's exactly what
it is.
Yes.
Well,
yep.
Follow
That's
the money.
Exactly what
it is. It's always about follow the money. And
the guy, actually, I interviewed the guy who was the lead advocate for this at the MMAC, and since getting this project passed, he became the lead lobbyist for the road builders.
Shocking.
The revolving door of lobbyists.
Yep. Shocking.
Yeah.
What a great job.
Should be a lobbyist. I can talk to people and get things done. Mm-hmm. I love lots of roads.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, there's an article in the Cap Times that we're going to kick around. Also, the Nope Kings rally, which is set for tomorrow. One side seems very, very upset about this. I wonder why.
Hmm. Do you think they'll have a Yes Kings rally?
No, a Yas Kings.
No, it'll be Please King. Please King. Stay with us.
Bring your boots.
Ugh. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
for listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump will zero in on the war in Ukraine when he meets with the nation's leader, Volodymyr Zelensky, in the Oval Office today. CBS's Natalie Brand.
We're expecting the topic of advanced weapons systems, specifically long-range Tomahawk missiles, to come up. That is something that Zelensky has been pushing for.
Former National Security Advisor John Bolton surrendered in Maryland after he was charged with mishandling classified documents. Chaos at a high school soccer game in Louisville, Kentucky. Several players and fans were injured when a railing in the stands collapsed as they were celebrating a hometown victory. Still counting, it's day 17 of the federal government shutdown, and Democrats are still holding out. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We will not support a partisan Republican spending bill that continues to gut the health care of the American people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.